Ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Optimize Your Body podcast. Got my man Andrew Joblin here today. And we actually met on LinkedIn, didn't we, my man?
We did.
As LinkedIn. You do.
Oh, mate, that's the place to be. All the cool people are on LinkedIn, Martin.
I know, mate. I noticed, man. I'd be missing out, mate.
Well, you need to, mate, because you're cool. So,
100%. I want to be in the cool crew, man. You know,
You're in for sure. Anyway, thanks, mate. It's great to be here.
Pleasure to have you on, man. And I like to keep this podcast kind of diverse. You know, the audience tunes into mainly the nutrition stuff and everything else. However, like you actually said last week, right? You mentioned about when we had a chat on your podcast, you mentioned mindset, right?
Yes.
And I did. That's exactly what it is. When we talked about sustainable weight loss, and it all comes down to where you're at in your mind. But I want to get into that. But first, before we get there, give us an intro, mate. Tell us a bit more about yourself.
Oh, gee whiz, mate. Throw me straight put under the spot, bus, man. Aren't you? Oh, my gosh. Well, firstly, I guess my mission in this world is to inspire and help people live their best life. I think we all have this incredible potential within us. We all have amazing capacity, but a lot of us don't believe it. And there's that lack of belief and that lack of self-worth that stops so many people living their very best life. So, mate, I've got a similar background to you, Martin. I've played professional sport, played AFL, for those of you that are into AFL.
Hey, tell us a bit more about that, because exactly half of the audience, 50%, are in America. Tell us all about AFL, man, and what you did, because he's being humble here, right? He played at the highest level, AFL. Tell us a bit more about what AFL is.
Americans have got no idea. I try and explain to Americans what Australian football is, and they think it's soccer, they think it's rugby. They've got no idea what Australian football is. So I call myself an unlikely athlete, Martin. I was this skinny little kid. I was a bit sickly and sooky, a bit of a mama's boy, really, if I'm being totally honest. Had a bit of insecurity about me. And I remember as a child thinking, okay, I want attention. How do I get validated? How do I feel good and strong and successful and respected? And I thought, I'm going to do something big. So I'm going to be a professional athlete. That was my goal. And I thought, okay, footy. Let's play footy. I love that. That was a typical Victorian, Aussie, Melbourne-based kid does back in the dark ages when dinosaurs roamed the earth. You play footy. So that I set my mind on this, and it was a desire for me, a burning desire to do it. And I call myself an unlikely athlete because I was pretty lacking a lot of natural ability. I guess what I had was a bit of grit. And at the age of 16, with a lot of hard work, I found myself at St Kilda. So St Kilda is a AFL club in Australia. Yeah, 16 years old. And then for the next 7 years, I played professional sports. So I made it at the top level back in the 80s. And it was a pretty cool experience, if I'm being honest. There's a lot to learn, a lot of great stuff I learned. A lot of things that happened while I was there that as a man has shaped me as a man in good ways and not so good ways. As those of you that know much about sporting culture and footy clubs and that kind of culture, some of the behaviors that I learned as a young man, probably not things I would have taught myself if I was a man teaching a young person, but it is what it is. And great time, learned a lot, shaped me as a person, helped me believe more in me and what I could achieve. And I think probably the most important thing that taught me was ability is not the most important thing. And I think so many people talk themselves out of achievement because they don't think they're good enough. They don't think they're talented enough. They're not smart enough. The reality is that whilst that is important to a degree, the most important thing is focus, is attitude, is creating good habits. You create good habits and results are predictable. So yeah, it was fun.
And also, you're an author, right, mate? You're onto your ninth book now, right?
Yes. I'm an accidental author. So unlikely athlete, accidental author.
I love it.
Yeah.
You're too humble, my man. You're too humble. I like it, though.
No. Well, yes, I guess that's humility, but it's not self-deprecating humility. I think what it is, what I'm trying to do, Martin, is inspire people to stop making excuses, because we make excuses all the time. I mean, for me, when I decided to write a book, my first book was published 20 years ago now, 2004 was published. And when I made the decision to write it, it was the most illogical idea ever. I mean, I played footy. I didn't read books. It was not something I'd ever thought of doing. I didn't want to write. I'd never thought about writing a book. English was my worst subject. At the time I decided to do it, I had a PT business. I owned a cafe. I was working 7 days a week. I had no time, no skills, no background, no qualifications, no idea what to do. But I had this idea because I wanted to change lives. And probably the life I needed to change the most was my own, because it was a pretty dark place at that point in my life. And as I started visualizing the life I wanted, this idea comes to me, write a book. And I'm thinking, I can't write a book. What are you talking about? I've got no idea what I'm doing. Interesting though, and this is the point, and call it humble, call it whatever you want, without really any idea what I was doing, but with a very clear vision of what I wanted, I just got started. And it's interesting, when you get started, you learn. You stuff up, you go again, you learn, you try again, you keep going, and over a period of time, you create the right habits. And before you know it, you've written a book. And the reason I've now got 8 books, and yeah, I've got 9 and 10 on the way, and people go, that's amazing. It's actually not amazing. And that, again, that's not being overly humble or self-deprecating. That's just saying, all I do is I do a little bit every single day. I don't miss a day. I write for 10 to 15 minutes a day. That is it. But I do it every day. And when you write every day and you keep going, you end up with books. When it's like people who are trying to lose weight, right? Like if you exercise every day, you're going to get fit. If you eat breakfast every day and you drink water and you eat the right food, you're going to be healthy. You know, if you compliment people every day, you're going to have good relationships. If you save more than you spend every day, you're going to have money in the bank. None of this stuff is mind-blowing. It's really just about focusing on what you can do in the day, in the moment, and not letting a day go past without you saying, I've won this day.
I love that. It's just a compound effect of small wins, right? Yep. I'd love to know, and what was your biggest character building moment, right? Put you on the spot here. Anything that comes to mind, if you don't mind sharing, of course, in your career as a professional athlete. It was St Kilda, right? Yep. Just for the audience, right? Victoria is the homeland of AFL. That's where it originates. Is that right?
Yep, that's correct.
The Australian Football League. And you played at the highest level, right? That's like you were at the top of the...
Yeah.
What was your, like, anything that comes to mind, if you don't mind sharing, the biggest character building or anything that stands out to you that goes, wow, really shaped me?
Yeah. Oh, 100%, mate. There's a couple of things, but probably the greatest one that shaped me as a human being. When, and again, I'm dating myself here. I played my first senior game of footy. So that's made it the team, the last game of the year, 1983. All right. So yeah, I'm an old dude. 1983, last game of the year. And at that stage in my life, I was 19 years old and I thought I'd made it. I thought, yes, I'm there. I'm an athlete. I'm a senior footballer. I'm a professional. I'm going to be famous and great and all this kind of stuff. And so, you know, I thought, okay, done, made it. Then next season starts and just fully expecting, well, I played the last game of the year, so I'm fully expecting to make the team first game of the next year, and missed selection. And I thought, okay, I've just got to play well in the reserve grade team, and did, and played well, and next week comes along and I'm sitting there waiting for selection and missed it again. I'm thinking, okay, what's going on here? I'm playing good footy. I've already made it once. And so each week I would show up. Each week I would train, each week I would play and play the best footy I could, and each week I would expect to be selected and miss out. And not only did I miss out on the first 2 weeks of that next year, I missed selection every single week for that whole year, the whole year, and half of the next year. And let me tell you, mate, there are so many times when I want to throw it in. There are times when I doubted whether I could do it. There are times when I wanted to slap the coach really hard. I wanted to kick him between the legs. I thought he hated me. I thought, you know, it's not fair. Why me? All these negative, you know, these negative victim thoughts came into my mind. But the one overriding thought for me was, keep showing up, Andrew, keep showing up. And in my head, this is what I thought. If I keep showing up, one of two things is going to happen. Either I'm going to get selected, or they're going to tell me I'm not good enough and they're going to sack me. But either way, if I keep showing up, I will know for sure whether I could do it or not. So it would have been so easy to give up. And I'm grateful. I mean, when I played my second senior game, sort of a year and a half later, I was a different footballer. I was an incredibly different footballer. I was one of the best on the ground. That started this whole journey for me. 18 months earlier, I wasn't ready. I wasn't prepared. I wasn't equipped. I wasn't strong enough mentally, physically, emotionally. 18 months later, after rejection and getting up and getting knocked down and changing my self-talk and getting fitter and stronger, and I had prepared myself to be a professional athlete. And that's probably the most character-building time in my life, because when people – and interestingly, when people ask me what's the most memorable time of your professional career, I will say it's that year and a half when I missed selection every single week, because that's when I became who I needed to become to be an athlete.
Love that, man. And how you do anything is how you do everything, right? So I was just thinking then, you said you were PTing 7 days a week and you had a cafe. And just for the audience, right, because I was a PT for years, right? Even just PTing, the amount of energy required, like let's say you're doing 30, 40 sessions, one-to-one a week, it's a lot of energy, right? If you're doing a cafe on top of that, that's a lot. How you do anything is how you do everything. Work ethic through the roof, obviously, as a professional athlete. You can clearly transfer that into, but I'd like to get into another kind of deep question is, like you mentioned earlier about your dark, that was a dark place, some dark moments. Did you ever hit like rock, feel like your, what was your rock bottom? Did you ever get to there and go, oh shit, the only way is up from here? Or was it more a case of this is just dark and something needs to change?
Well, look, I've had dark moments. I think everyone's had dark moments. I've had way more than one. I've had multiple dark moments, but that was that dark moment where I actually made the decision to write my book. So I was working 7 days a week. I had two businesses. I was working well over 100 hours. And the cafe that I owned ended up in $100,000 debt over a couple of years. Like, so not only did I have no life, was I burnt out, I was now broke, beyond broke, and I was actually very broken. I was lost. I was alone. I just felt helpless. That was professionally and personally, probably the darkest place that I've been. And it was that moment, and this is why this is such a turning point for me. It was in that moment as I sat there, I remember the day very clearly, sat there, head in my hands, thinking, oh my gosh, you know, I was debating, do I need to still be on this planet or will I just go and end it? Gratefully, I didn't end it. Otherwise, you and I wouldn't be having this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought to myself, and this was the key question that I asked myself, because normally, you know what? The question most people ask themselves is, okay, what are you going to do now? What are you going to do? The dumbest question in the world is, what are you going to do? Because the what do you want to do question got me in that situation in the first place. I thought I wanted to be a PT. I didn't. I thought I wanted to buy a cafe. Sure, didn't want that. So I didn't ask that question. I asked myself, Andrew, how do you want to live? How do you want to live? And as I imagined a life that I wanted, you know, where I had confidence and felt good about me, a life where I was impacting lives, a life where I was doing things with meaning and I had multiple streams of income and, you know, I was abundant and free and helping, changing lives. That was the moment this idea came to me to write a book. Now, I didn't know at that time that idea was linked to that vision that I had. I mean, had I not sat there and asked myself that question, I don't think I would have come up with the idea to write the book, because who knew? God knew that write a book and you'll create everything that you visualize right now. And as I look back 20 years, well, it's actually 22 years since the decision, but I look at my life now and I'm living the life that I visualized back then in that deep, dark time. And so dark times are only dark if you wallow in the challenges you've got. You know, I've had multiple dark times. You know, I've been married 3 times, and probably another dark time was at the end of 2019, just before COVID, when my third marriage ended. And then all of a sudden, Melbourne went into lockdown and I ended up alone in a home with the person I like the least. And I had to deal with it. I had to face me, and I could have wallowed, you know, like most people do, or sorry, not most people, a lot of people self-medicate. Would have been a nice, simple thing to do, but I didn't. I faced that guy in the mirror and said, okay, mate, it's time to change. It's time for you to be different. It's time for you to be the man you're destined to be. And I think dark times for all of us can be the catalyst for great change if we look at it with the right perspective. If we ask ourselves the question, what can I learn? What do I do different? What do I want? How do I want to live? What can I, how can I use these? It's incredible what will come from adversity.
Incredible, man. That's an incredible story, mate. And hats off to you. You're here now. And not only because achievement is one thing, right? And creating a vision for yourself. But the main thing is you're having a massive impact on the world, right?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of us do that. A lot of us want that. Well, not all, a lot of us, you know, some of us do want that. We want, well, let's just say how it is actually. Humans are built to serve, right? That's what we need to do, is a fundamental need to help others. We need each other, right? So I'd love to know, right, in terms of your foundation, because for me, I always say like discipline and consistency, even though it doesn't feel like that for us now, especially yourself, right, in terms of how long you've been active and fit for, but staying fit, healthy, having your habits and your routine, especially with the lockdown, right? Because it was crazy down in Victoria, just for the audience. Yep. You may have seen all the stuff that happened, you know, all the bullshit in lockdown. Well, I'm not going to say bullshit because people, you know, dealt with losing people and stuff. What I mean is the way they dealt with things and everything else down in Victoria was interesting. Shut everything down, everything else, gyms. What was your, is your foundation? Because for me, my foundation is kind of like health, fitness, taking care of myself, doing these fundamental habits, you know, going to the gym or training of some sort, going for my walks, you know, eating well. What's your foundation that keeps you performing at your best and keeps your vision alive?
Wow, good question, mate. You've got the questions, haven't you? You're loading
them. I have, mate.
I'm
all over it.
Firing them.
I'm firing them, man. I'm testing you out. I know you haven't been interviewed for a while, so
I know.
I want to put you on the spot.
I'm the one asking the questions. I should flip it back and ask you a question.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go.
No, mate. It's a good question. I mean, I guess foundational for me. I mean, health and fitness is always foundational. I mean, I talk about this when I speak about health and well-being, because so many people, unfortunately, don't put their health and well-being as a foundation of their life. They put it as one of the pillars of their life, and it never belongs as a pillar. You know, I think pillars are, you know, friends, family, career, finances, and people. Too many people put health and well-being as a pillar. In other words, if I can prioritize it, I will. If not, well, I've got to focus on other things. Too many people don't focus on their health and then lose it, and then everything suffers. So therefore, it is a foundation. So 100%, mate, you know, well-being for me is just something that I will do forever. Every morning I'm up. Every morning I'm training. Every day I eat breakfast. Every day I'm drinking water. Every day I'm eating well and take my supplements. I don't think about it. I don't debate about it. I don't negotiate it. It's just part of my routine now. It's just part of what I do. The foundation of my well-being is so that I can impact lives. Because for me, the thing that drives me is not how great my book will inspire someone, or if I get a chance to speak to a group, you know, how motivating I can be. I mean, I enjoy that, and I hope that my message will touch someone's life. But for me, and this is a work in progress, and I'm still trying to get it right, is understanding the ripple effect of every word, every action, every habit that I create. There's a ripple effect. Someone's listening, someone's watching, someone's being inspired, or someone's being influenced to look at me and go, okay, well, if Andrew Jobling's doing it, then I'll do it. And so in my head is, okay, so if, let's just say, and then hopefully this doesn't come across as egocentric, because I think every single person, it has a ripple effect, because there's people watching all of us. But the question I ask myself is, what ripple effect do I want to put out? What example do I want to set? What path do I want to help people create? And so for me, the foundation is me, is being the best I can be, knowing that someone's watching, someone's being influenced. And if I can be the best I can be, then I can help someone, or inspire someone, or encourage someone, or empower someone to be the best that they can be. Because, I mean, there's enough information for everyone. You know, the books are there that, you know, telling people what to do doesn't work. It never works.
Mm.
I mean, I hated being told what to do. That's why I could never work for anyone, because I hated being told what to do.
Same.
But we want to be inspired, right? We don't want to be 100%. Informed. We don't want to be educated. We want to be inspired. And I think, or empowered. Some people don't consider themselves as inspiring, but we are all empowering if we encourage, if we support, if we take positive action, if we, the way we deal with situations, the way we deal with adversity, the way we deal with conflict. People are watching and going, okay, wow, all right, that's a great way to do it. Maybe I should start thinking about that myself.
Yeah, love it. And you said something powerful then as well, about health and fitness, using that as a pillar, right? But yeah, what you said then was absolutely spot on. You know, people want to be inspired. It's the information era, right? We've got more information available to us than bloody any other time in human history. And the thing is, everyone knows what to do, right? Most areas of their life, they know what to do, especially if we're talking about health. Like, you know what to do. It's not, Andrew just broke it all down for you, right? It's not that complicated, really, at all. It's a case of drinking water every day, eating better every day, you know what I mean? Going to the gym most days. And it's not about being perfect. It's about being consistent over a long period of time with anything. Like you on your 9th or 10th book, as you say, you know, for you, it's not a magnificent thing. It's just, again, just putting one foot in front of the other every single day. But you said something powerful. That's what I love about these podcasts is I always take something away, one or two things from the guest that I actually learn and I actually utilize in my life. You said about health and fitness being a pillar. And as you said that, I was like, yes, people do look at it as just, okay, this is something I'll do if either A, I have time, or B, if, you know, the people want all the perfect circumstances, don't they?
To if take I can action. Afford a gym membership.
Oh, yes. There we go.
If I like it, if all these reasons why they justify what they do or they don't.
Exactly.
Focus on their health. Yeah.
Exactly. And talk about that then, mate, because it's excuses again, going back to what we said, but it takes time to actually, we said this last week, right? Turning the behavior into a habit and actually realizing the amazing benefits that it adds to your life. Like for someone like you and I, we've done it for a long time. It's subconscious now. It's like brushing our teeth is automatic. You wouldn't get up and not brush your teeth in the morning. I hope not anyway. It's like, I wouldn't get up and not go to the gym or do something else for myself, which is going to challenge me because it's a small win that set myself up for the rest of the day. Or if I want to take it to the next level, I'll have an ice bath, right? Because you never want to have an ice bath. I actually enjoy going to the gym now. And then you do that quote unquote hard thing. Although last week you said, you know, easy, right? So I'd love to know why you think people look at it that way and why you think people believe their own bullshit so much. Because essentially that's what it is, right?
It is. Yeah. No, look, mate, we want comfort over pain. I think we spoke about this when we spoke on my podcast. You've got to choose your pain. You've got to choose your fear. You know, is it people have, you know, exercise is uncomfortable for sure. There's no doubt about it. Like, it's not easy. It's uncomfortable. Sometimes for people, eating breakfast is uncomfortable. And you might describe it as painful. But you've got to choose your pain, because do you choose the pain of the discomfort of doing something now to create the habit? Because if you don't, you will default to the pain of the consequences of not looking after your well-being. And we can either be healthy or make excuses. We can't do both. And if you're finding yourself, if you're listening to this, finding yourself making excuses, and you know it's an excuse, you can justify till the cows come home. I mean, you can make all the justification. Yeah, but the gym was closed and I don't like my PT and the weather. I live in Melbourne, so I can blame weather. If I wanted to, I could use the weather as a great excuse. Too hot, too cold, too wet, too windy, whatever. We can say that. But the bottom line is, if you don't look after your health, you'll end up sick. You'll end up unhealthy. That's the bottom line. There's no you don't plateau with this. There's no status quo. You're every day, or every decision we're making is either we're on a spiral up towards better health and well-being, or we're spiraling down to ill health. Okay, that's the bottom line. So then the question is, okay, if I'm going to be healthy, I have to commit to this until it becomes a habit. Then the question is, why? Because I don't know about you, Martin, but my alarm goes off at 4:55 a.m. every morning. And I can tell you for a fact, at 4:55 every morning, the last thing I feel like doing is getting up and exercising. Yet before I know it, I'm up. And for me now, it's just unconscious, right? The alarm goes off, my feet are on the floor, and I'm up. It just happens. Now, I'm still not enjoying it, but my body's moving and it's not taking any notice of my brain. It's moving me out the door to try. I do put clothes on before I go out the door, mate. So just in case you're
wondering, you put a t-shirt on, but nothing else, right?
Exactly, mate.
Still clothes, exactly. I guess.
Yeah. What do they say? Training naked, it increases your metabolism. Isn't that what they say?
Especially in Victoria, mate, with that weather.
The only problem is the spanner weather over here in Melbourne at this time of the year.
Yeah, no doubt.
So, but we know we need to do it. I mean, this is, I think we've just got to get to the point that we know we need to. We all do. Everyone does. And whether you're doing it or not doing it, you know you should. And you probably, as you hit the snooze button in the morning, you're saying to yourself, oh, I should be getting up and going for a jog or a walk. And every day you skip breakfast and you run out the door, you're saying to yourself, well, I should have eaten breakfast. And when you're putting that donut in your mouth and taking the first bite, you're probably saying to yourself, oh, I shouldn't be eating this donut, but you're doing it anyway. So the question then is, there's a couple of things. The question you've really got to focus on is, why would I want to be healthy? I mean, and it's not about six pack, and it's not about buns of steel, and it's honestly, it's not about fitting into that outfit. It might be about self-image and self-esteem, for sure. But find some deeper reason why your health and well-being is important. I mean, what example do you want to set for your kids? Do you want to be around for your grandkids? Well, I mean, how more effective could you be at work or at school? What example are you setting for people around you? Get a real deep burning desire to change your circumstances. That's the first step. The second piece, I believe, is getting yourself in the right environment, because there's a great book called Willpower Doesn't Work. And all he talks about is, you know, people think it takes willpower to get in shape. It doesn't take willpower at all. It takes the right association. If you hang around with healthy people, you'll be healthy. If you associate with people that get up and exercise in the morning and will encourage you to do the same and eat well, and you associate with those people, it's way easier to start creating the habits that you'll sustain yourself with forever. So find your why. Get clear on why. Get a plan. Get into some accountability with the right group of people. And then you've just got to focus for a period of time on a couple of very small things until they become unconscious habits. And as soon as you become an unconscious habit, it's there, mate. It's there forever. You don't have to worry about it. It's like brushing your teeth. Brush your teeth. I don't think about brushing my teeth these days. I just do it. You know, driving home from a place, let's say you drive home from work the same way every day. I don't know how many people end up driving home, get home, go, I didn't even remember driving home. Why? Because you've created such a strong neural pathway in your brain because you've repeated that behavior time and time and time and time and time again that it's now an unconscious habit. Now, all you got to do, this is the key to success in anything, create unconscious habits with the simple activities or simple actions or simple behaviors that will give you a result predictably. Exercise, breakfast, complimenting, saving money, positive thinking, all those things, if you can create the rhythm and routine to do it, they will continue to deliver amazing results into your life forever.
You broke that down so well then in terms of having a desire to do it. The why is the most important thing. I think you said this at the start, right? What do I want to do? No, what life do I want to live? It's a kind of similar sort of thing, right? I want to lose 5 kilos. Okay, good luck with that. It's too shallow. Why do you want to lose it? We're talking long-term. 95% of people gain all the weight back, right? For example, yeah. They want to lose it. So what's going to keep you going? It's your why. It's going to get hard. You're going to want to quit many a times, right? So what keeps you going is that why. Why is it important to you? What's the cost of you not doing this? What's the cost of you falling off? Like you say, you know, going to the gym is quite painful, right? Okay, maybe not eating that pizza, all right? It's willpower. You got to say no. You got to be around the right people most of the time. Yep, tough. But diabetes, you know, and all the other chronic illnesses you could get, much more painful, right? But I love what you said there in terms of the environment as well, because that's everything, man. It's the most important thing. I see this time and time again with clients. Social influence, who they're around, has the biggest impact on the decision-making, bottom line. And the other thing I wanted to talk about, and then pick your brain on, is distractions, right? And I'm going to hold my hands up. Because in the mornings, I don't check my phone. All I do is I check my Oura score, right? My sleep score. And that's it. Other than that, nothing else. Because it's not only does it put me out of that calm state and distract me, it sets the tone for the rest of the day. And a lot of people won't be aware of this, but I did this morning, right? I don't know why. I went to the gym. Before I trained, I never do it, right? But I checked some of my Instagram. Then I checked something else. And what it does is it puts you in a distracted state for the rest of the day. Now, what I've noticed this morning is I've got more of that urge to get that dopamine hit of distractions. And I know it's bullshit, but that's because you didn't stick to your personal standards, your non-negotiable normally of not checking your fucking phone. It's the ripple effect of those things. So how have you, because you know, you've written, you know, 9-10 books, 10th one's on its way. Like, what advice would you get? Because we're more distracted than ever. There's actually a really good book called Stolen Focus by Johan Hari. Amazing book. I'd recommend it. And literally everything around us nowadays, right? With technology, it's great. It's amazing. We're here now having this awesome conversation, but people are distracted, man. I think people are procrastinating a lot, talking. You can talk about and share stuff on your social media story, like, but you're not taking care of yourself, and then you haven't got time. Do you understand what I mean, man?
Yeah, it's a toughie. We live in a very distracted world, and there's so many ways to be distracted. And I'm a victim of being distracted too. Like, I don't have it right. I think, again, just identifying what are the key things you need to do. And I think the biggest mistake people make in the journey of change is to try and change 12 things all at once. Get rid of social media, turn off the television, get up and exercise, eat breakfast, don't check their phone, da-da-da-da-da, and they last 3 seconds because we can't deal with that much change. So I think the first piece is pick one thing, probably one thing you need to start doing and one thing you need to stop doing and focus there. That's it. And do that until you have now created two new habits, or one new habit, and you've stopped one old habit that hasn't been serving you. And if that means, if that thing that you let go of is don't look at your phone first thing in the morning and until you get back from your walk or whatever it might be, great. If the one thing you are going to do is get up and go for your walk, make those two things the things that you do. And what you find is there's once you can see the benefit of being less distracted, once you can be more mindful and in the present, I mean, people are just not living in the moment and you miss so much. I mean, there's beauty everywhere in this world. I mean, I go out and train. I don't take my phone with me when I train in the morning because I don't want to be distracted. And you see people exercising and they're listening to stuff or they're talking to people. And look, that's cool. But I live in a beautiful part of Melbourne. I live in St Kilda. I live on the beach and I train and I look out of the water and I look and I see ducks. And every now and then there's dolphins and I look at the birds and I like saying hello to people. And it's, for me, that's the joy of what I do in the morning is just enjoying where I live and the fact that I get to exercise in this incredible environment. If I was listening to music or I was listening to some motivational speaker trying to pump me up, I'm missing all the beauty that's free. Free for us, all of it. The flowers are free. The birds are free. The water's free. It's free. You don't have to pay for it. You just got to enjoy it. It's there for you. Joy is right there in your face. So enjoy that time. And yeah, just one little change at a time and you'll find that you'll start being more focused on the things that are important and less distracted by the things that are not. You'll start creating change in your life. I think this is a big motivating factor for me, Martin, is I don't want to live like most people. And this sounds, I don't know if this sounds elitist or arrogant, and I don't mean it to sound that way, but I look around the world, I look around and I look at most people and I see people not loving their jobs, struggling financially, I see them unhealthy, and I think, well, I don't want that. So therefore, if I don't want to live like them, I've got to do different to what they're doing. So if I do what most people aren't prepared to do, then I'm going to live like most people aren't able to live. Yeah. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that motivates me doing things I know most people aren't going to do because that's moving me on down a different path.
Thing is, man, and that's spot on because the bar is actually set really low. And this is not me getting on my high horse either. But the average person, I think, has got less than $1,000 in their bank. And again, no disrespect to people who are hustling and trying to make ends meet. Shout out to you. But, you know, the bar's low. Like if you know, the average person's got under $1,000 in their bank and they're obese, essentially, or at least overweight, right? Just to give you two examples. So it's not really magical or rocket science or anything to really out of your depths, right? If you think about it, it's just a case of, okay, let me get healthier. And if it is important to you, you know, if you're doing a job you hate, like Andrew said, look, it is easy for us to stand here sometimes and say, you know, like whatever, you know, go and chase your dreams and everything else. You know, we all got to pay bills and stuff like that. But again, we all know what the right thing to do is. Yep. So you have to take action on that first step in that process, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, if you hate your job, maybe changing your job's not the right thing to do. Maybe looking at your job differently is what you need to do.
Perspective.
I mean, well, it is perspective because, see, most people think, oh, I'm just, an accountant, or I'm just a bricklayer, or I'm just a, doing data entry or whatever. But they're not actually thinking about the ripple effect of what they do and the impact that's having, because every job, every single individual role that someone has in an organization or a job or a company is part of the process to make, generally speaking, make lives better. Like if I've, I did this talking tour for a company that makes trucks and buses and repairs and fixes trucks and buses. And, this conversation came up when I asked the group of people I was speaking to, tell me if you would describe what you did, what would you say? And one guy puts his hand up and said, I'm just the mechanic. And I sort of asked him, well, how do you feel about that? Oh, it's boring and it's this and it's that and it's hard and it's da da da. And I said, well, is that really what you are? And he goes, yeah, that's what I am. I said, and then I asked him the question, so you fix buses and trucks? And he goes, yeah. So you just work on the engine? I said, yeah. And then I said, well, where do those buses and trucks go? What do? Where do the buses go? And then he said, well, they take people jump on a bus and go on a holiday, or they go and reunite with loved ones, or they go to a seminar or a function that's going to change and inspire them. And then what do the trucks do? Working trucks, what do? Well, they take stuff. They move equipment and parts and materials and products. So, and I said, so really what you are is integral, because if those buses and trucks aren't on the road, then they can't do the stuff they need to do to change lives, right? Therefore, you're one of the most important parts of the process to change lives. And this guy's looking, oh, wow. And all of a sudden, he looks at his job very, very differently now, because he's not just a mechanic. He's actually an integral part of changing lives. And so sometimes we've just got to go, okay, well, I hate my job because my boss doesn't like me. Okay, well, doesn't matter whether you've got a job or you work for yourself, right? Like I know there are people that don't like me either. They don't like what I say. They don't like how I say it. That's just reality. But as long as you're strong, you've got a good, strong support network around you, and you believe in your heart what you do and say is for the betterment of lives, then be proud of that, and know that if you're doing the right thing and you're getting resistance from people, then you're right on track. And unfortunately, what people think is, when they're getting resistance, oh, you shouldn't do that, or don't chase your dreams, or don't do that, they think they need to listen to people who are living an average life. Well, I don't want an average life, so I'm not listening to you. I want a great life, so I'm going to do what people are living a great life are doing, whether you agree with that or not. So it's becoming stronger within yourself and knowing that I'm here for a purpose. I'm here for a short time, and I don't want to waste this time on this planet.
And at the moment, and I've just done the calculation. You said you were 19 in 1983, right? So that means you're 59, 60 years old.
60 this year.
Wow, yep. You're looking great, man. Honestly, I did not expect that. I was doing the calculations here. I was like, nah, surely that's not right. Mate, I'd love to know, if you could go, I know that the kind of cliche question, but I would love to know, because everything you were saying there and what I hear from people, and it's something that the only thing I think I'll regret is looking back and going, shit, you could have enjoyed that more and be more present. I can't see it being any, like my mantra. I read a really good book called Die with Zero. And the mantra in there is, maximize positive life experiences. Yep. Right. So I've always got that in my head. Now, how can I, and don't get me wrong, again, we need to pay the bills, we need to earn money and everything else. But that when you're showing up at your best self, you're taking care of yourself, you're doing your best to help others, everything comes back around, right? If you ask me, money always comes with that generally. But what would you say to yourself, man, if you could go back and have a chat with yourself, let's say, I don't know, man, in your late 20s or something like that, if you could go, right, and this is what I wanted to do going forward, right? I wanted to just pay more attention to X. Like, what would you do differently? Is anything, not do differently, nothing differently. What advice would you give yourself to a younger version of yourself?
Yeah, look, it's good. It's a great question. I would definitely say live more in the moment. I would definitely say trust yourself more and love yourself more, because I struggled with self-worth, and that affected a lot of the choices that I made and the action, the responses or consequences in my life, like losing marriages, losing money, and I don't regret any of it, because it's helped me become who I am today. But if I was giving myself that advice, I'd say, Andrew, love yourself. Love God. I would say treat people right. And just believe in yourself and just know that whatever's out there, you can do it. Be pretty simple. And I think I'd say that to any single person. I mean, we all doubt ourselves. We're so self-deprecating most of the time. Just be able to catch myself when I ever say, oh, you're an idiot, or and say, no, I'm not. I'm not an idiot at all. I'm human. You know, we're human. Just to give ourselves a bit of a break. You know, I've always been very hard on myself. So, just take it easy on myself and love me for me, not for what I achieve. Very important. You know, I'd never really liked me much, and I thought I've got to achieve to be liked and lovable and validated. And it's interesting when you achieve, you still don't feel any better about yourself. So I would say to myself, mate, you are good enough right now. You don't have to be an athlete. You don't have to be an author. You don't have to be a speaker. You don't have to have the body to be loved. You're lovable right now.
And you mentioned God then as well. And this is something that I've been more, I guess, tuning into now. Like I didn't really pay attention to it, even up until like the back end of last year. I pay more attention now to signs. And I do honestly believe that everything's a sign, you know, whatever you want to believe, right? Whether it's true or not, I think is kind of irrelevant. It's my truth and it helps.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
And if you believe that it's true. I mean, this is the thing about.
Definitely. Because people have a thing, you know, with the word God.
Buddhism or whatever. I believe it, it's true for me. And it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks.
For better or for worse, isn't it? As you say, like if you tell yourself a story, a negative story, that's going to become true. What was it? Is that saying, right? Whether you believe, whether it's true or not, if you believe it is true or something like that. But you said about God then, right? And I think everyone, and especially myself, I went to Catholic schools and everything else. So I had this weird kind of like, there's nothing wrong with Catholic or Christian, but I had this weird kind of thing in my head. When I mentioned God, I thought, you know, Jesus Christ and all of these like Bibles and I took it too far in my head and I'm like, okay, like everyone has a different kind of perception of what God is. And I'd love to, you know what your perception is, because I think it's such a powerful thing to have faith and belief and some form of spirituality to help you show up in a more positive way. You know what I mean? It's really, really helps me. And it helps me deal with like these situations. And you're going to have so much more wisdom than me, right? Just purely from more life experience and everything you've been through. And you're all the same. Let me just say how it is. I'm trying to be nice here. but it's like, it's so powerful to be able to go, okay, you might get into your feelings at times, but for me to have like certain mantras where I say, okay, it's not happening for you, it's happening to you. What's the benefit? How is this making you grow? How is this making you show up better in, you know, whether that be better for my clients or show up better for my girlfriend or as an entrepreneur, whatever that is, you know?
Yeah, well, look, the spiritual path to me is the most important one. You know, because as you get older, wiser, whatever, you let go of the ego need to have all the answers, because you don't have all the answers. I never had all the answers. I mean, the more I tried to fix things, the more I'd screw them up, right? And it got to a point when my third marriage was in crisis and I thought, I've got no answers here. And you know, a good, close, trusted friend of mine who was a Christian just recommended that I go to this event with her, which I did, and I opened my heart to Christianity. So, and for a couple of reasons, not because I wanted to say I'm a religious person, because I don't believe in religion, because I think religion is man-made. And that's why there's so many different denominations of the Bible, of whatever you want to call it, or faith, because that's human beings' interpretation of it. You know, for me to know, right, and again, people listening to this, I'm going to alienate people. That's okay. Remember, this is my truth. This is what I choose to believe, that Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins, and that I'm forgiven, and God loves me, and God's there to guide me and help me. And, you know, to that decision to write a book all those years ago made no sense. Where did that come from? I mean, where did that idea come from? It didn't make any sense. It had to be, in my mind, it had to be God going, okay, here you go. Because God was looking down going, okay, this is what you need to do. And I thought, all right, I'm going to do it. Now, I didn't recognize it at the time. And I probably would have disagreed if anyone had said that to me. But I can see it now. And I think just to be able to let go of stuff, I think the key to faith is just being able to let go and say, look, God, this is out of my hands. I'm just going to hand it over to you. I trust that the job's going to come, the right person's going to come into my life, the opportunities, the doors are going to open for my business. I'm not just going to sit on the couch and do nothing and expect God to deliver. I'm going to keep working, and I'm going to keep training, and I'm going to keep making phone calls and connecting with people on LinkedIn. I'm going to keep doing all that stuff, but I'm going to not be so emotionally attached to whether I get rejected, except I'm just going to have faith that the right things are going to come into my life. You would not believe how much peace that's brought into my life. And I think the greatest thing that comes with a faith is peace, peace of mind, getting rid of stress. And I was a stress head. I was a very anxious person, but my faith has allowed me to get rid of that, a lot of that stuff. Not all of it, but a lot of it. And it's had a very positive impact in my life. So, but you got to find some kind of faith, whether it's a Christian faith, whether it's Buddhism faith, whether you're followers of the force, you know, whatever. I don't think, you know, I'm not here to preach a certain denomination or a certain spiritual path, but if you try and think, if you think you're in control of your life, you are horribly wrong, because everything you think you're in control of, you think you're in control of your job, you could lose it. You think you're in control of your relationship, you can lose it. You think you're in control of anything, you can lose that. So this is where you got to just let it up, let it go, pass it up and say, okay, I'm just going to have faith that the right things are going to happen because I believe.
Love it, man. Hey, Ian, really enjoyed this, my man. Where, like, is there anything that you're doing now, anything you want to tell the audience about, or, and should I say, you know, let the audience know where they can find you, although I'll include this in the show notes.
Yeah, mate, look, my website's got everything that I do. I've got books, clearly, which love people to buy and read. I've got a podcast, which you are a guest on, so people definitely need to listen to that. It's called the Wellness Puzzle Podcast. I'm a speaker. I mentor authors. So if anyone wants to write a book, they can reach out to me. But go to andrewjobling.com.au and it's all there.
Awesome, my man. Hey, really appreciate you coming on, mates. And like I said, really, really enjoyed that.
Thanks, Martin. Appreciate it.